Good morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Our text is verse 14. Now back in verse 11, Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And last week I stated that the whole armor of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the equipping, the protection and provision by the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. And it encompasses our hope, the hope of our standing in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Colossians chapter 1, in verse 27 and 28, we see where Paul is saying that we are, the church, we're sent to declare the mystery of God in Jesus Christ. And he says, verse 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you is the hope that we have, that we shall behold the glory of our God and receive him as our eternal inheritance. That's the hope of glory. "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." So this armor is speaking to, it's describing the provision and the defense of the believer who stands in Jesus Christ. His people stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this picture of armor, it's intended to be a comfort to you that believe. This is intended to be a comfort and an encouragement to you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're standing in Christ according to the grace of our God. We stand in him. We're, it's an immature thought to think anything of ourselves as though we ourselves are something, that we're strong in ourselves and that we're able in ourselves. That's an immature thought. And the Lord is the one who matures us. He's the one that takes our eyes off of ourselves. He's the one who in wisdom and in his providence and in his counsels brings us to see it's not me. It's not my strength. It's not my wisdom. Christ is all. Our Lord does that for his people. And so he does this for us. He has made our all to equip us for the trials that we go through. Whether the trial is a brief trial that's over quickly, or it's a trial that continues on for a long, long time. Our Lord he's provided everything that we need for the trial in himself. And so we're being encouraged to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts, when we look at this armor, it's to set our eyes not on self, not to give us something to boast in of ourselves, but to look to Jesus Christ, our champion, the mighty one, the one whom God has provided, who's done everything necessary for his people. Now, Paul speaks of the fact that there is a spiritual battle that's raging. There is a spiritual battle going on. He says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And understand that your Lord has that. He has that realm. He sees that spiritual realm and knows exactly what the spiritual forces are and what they're trying to accomplish your Lord has those things in his hand. He's sovereign, and he's able to execute and accomplish his will and purpose in the earth. He's just making us to know that these difficulties and these challenges that are coming up in your life, they're not just by chance, and they're not just of the flesh and by the flesh, but there's a spiritual attack going on. There's a spiritual reason behind it all, but your Lord has it. He's just making us aware that that's really that person that's saying evil things about you or trying to provoke you. It's a spiritual warfare that's going on behind the scenes. But through that all, the purpose why this is brought out, that through it all, you're called to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're called to look to him, to trust him, to stay upon him and not be moved from him. It's an encouragement that we not be moved from the Lord. And so we continue to stand in that hope of our Savior. Now with this understanding, Paul says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so Paul gives us this armor of our God. He gives us an analogy. He makes an analogy using this whole armor of God, and it's to help us understand the spiritual blessings that we've been given by our God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's equipped us for every purpose. And he's given us the protection and the armor that we need in him. And so this armor, it's an analogy, and it's describing the various blessings that the believer receives in his Lord. It's describing these blessings that our God gives to us in Christ, that we are given while we're here serving the Lord. You know, Paul, he uses language like this. He says, when he's writing to Timothy, he first said in the first letter, 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. And then in his second epistle, 2 Timothy 2:3, he said, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. There's hard days and there's difficult days. Endure those things. And Christ has given you everything necessary to endure those days. You're here now, aren't you? He's kept you and he's brought you here thus far. So we're given these awesome visuals, right? The picture is a Roman soldier, which Paul would have seen in his day. He's looking at a Roman soldier, and he's there in armor, which is fit for his engagement in battle, right? It's the right armor. It's the perfect armor to equip him for the battles that he faces. And these are pictures of what every believer stands in and rejoices in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this isn't battle for our flesh to use. This is pictures of what Christ has accomplished for you in his death, burial, and resurrection to redeem you, his people. It speaks to the gospel of our Savior. And in Revelation 12, verses 10 through 11, we read that the accuser of the brethren, the devil, he's been cast down. Christ has overcome the devil. He's been cast down. That one who comes with fiery accusations to trouble you and to shame you and to make you feel guilt, Christ has overcome those things. And Christ has done the work necessary. And it says there in Revelation 12, verse 11, speaking of you, brethren, who believe the gospel, it says that they overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb. Not their own strength. It doesn't speak of their strength and their wisdom, of their good works and the things that they've done. We overcome the accusations, the fiery accusations of the evil one, by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto death. They love not their lives unto the death. That's all gospel language. And so this armor of Jesus Christ is all gospel. It's all the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we continue to overcome every enemy by the blood of the Lamb. And we understand that this is of Christ. We know this is of Christ by the word of the testimony of Jesus. So as we look at each piece, as we break down these pieces, we're not going to get to all of them. We're just going to stay in verse 14 this morning. But as we look at these pieces, you behold the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's speaking of. It's what he's accomplished for you. I titled this message, Stand in Christ. Stand in Christ. So let's go to our text in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and let's read verse 14 together. Paul says, Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now let's just stop right there at that first word, stand. Stand. When religion is explaining the armor of God, what do they often do? They proceed to lay upon you a heavy set of armor, don't they? They lay on you armor so thick and so heavy that you can't move. It's a burden to bear. They lay on you the law. They lay on you the commandments and doctrines of men. They lay on you philosophies and ideas that are fleshly in nature. That's what they lay on the believer. And so you can't even move. You know, you think of David, right? When David said, I'll go out and fight Goliath. And Saul did what? He took him aside and he laid on him that heavy armor, Saul's armor. And David was like, I haven't even proved these things. I can't walk in this. I can't do anything in this. I don't need any of it. And he took it all off. So we're not looking for the armor of men. But as believers, we see Jesus. We see Jesus, right? It's there in Hebrews 2:9, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Right? Christ bore that as our champion. He's our armor. So you've been called in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the mercy of God for his people. This is not of your doing. This is of the Lord's grace. We see in Christ the Lord being merciful, to whom he will be merciful, him being compassionate, upon whom he will show compassion. It's all in Christ. And so it's in the hope of the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we stand. And in him we stand complete before our God. We're not standing there naked. We're not standing there insufficient. We're not standing there in rags of our own making. We stand complete and righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a picture that our Lord gives us of the believer standing in Christ. Moses had asked the Lord, he said, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. I want to see your glory, Lord. And the Lord tells him in Exodus 33, verse 21, the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me. There's a place by me, the Lord said. And he says, You shall stand upon a rock. And that place near the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand upon the rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And standing in him and by him, we are near our God. We're brought near by his grace and mercy of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so our footing, brethren, is not on shaky, sandy ground. It's not on slippery, wet, muddy ground. It's on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. That's the one in whom we stand before the Lord. We stand in him. And so our Savior, Jesus Christ, that's the one in whom we behold and see the glory of our God. Right? Moses said, Show me your glory. You want to see the glory of God? look away from self and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he's sent to be the propitiation, to be the one who has obtained our forgiveness by his own hand, by his work before the Father to put away our sins. Our God says, or we read in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You want to see the glory of God? You look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's whom the Spirit reveals in your hearts that are his. You that believe, you're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness alone. So stand in the faith and hope of our calling in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now we'll come to the first armor that he speaks of. And it's basically a belt. He's describing a belt. And he says, having your loins girt about with truth. And so a belt, it wraps around your waist, right? It wraps around your waist. And if you have a belt that's part of your armor, it's securing and it's securing your armor and it's giving integrity to the armor so that you're not losing pieces as you're going in the battle. It's securing everything and giving it integrity. And in addition to that, we see that it's used to hold things, right? It holds the sword of the Spirit. And all of this is picturing the truth of our God revealed to us in his gospel, in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when men, there's also another sense in which this truth is used. It pictures what men did back in that day. They would wear long garments, typically, I guess, having to do with the heat of the time and the area, and it was flowing and it restricted movement to some degree, swift movement. And so what they could do with that belt is they could gather up that garment and stuff it into their belt, and then that garment would become like shorts so that if they had to move, they could move swiftly in the shorts. And so this is the picture that we have here. Now, it's called a belt of truth. And who is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. He's the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Right? We come to the Father in Christ, who is the way to God. We come in Christ, who is the truth, and reveals to us the truth in our God. And we come to him who's our life. And Christ is revealed where? In the word of truth, which is the gospel. Which is the gospel that we preach. The word of the truth of the gospel. Looking back, if you're in Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse 13. And here we see that this gospel that we hold to, this is the truth of God. This is the revelation of truth. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so this is the truth, brethren. This is the word of truth, which is the gospel, because the gospel declares to us the truth that we need to hear. We're sinners. We're sinners who have offended holy God. We have no righteousness of our own. We have no means of making a righteousness that we could come to God in. But rather, it reveals who the Savior is, who our salvation is. It reveals the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the sin of his people unto himself and went to the cross and sacrificed himself to put away our sin. And he, having fulfilled all righteousness, he being born under the law and having fulfilled all the law of God perfectly, he obtained our eternal righteousness and redemption before God by putting away our sin and by the Lord imputing his righteousness to us, so that we stand complete in Christ our Savior. And for this cause, Hebrews 9:15, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, right, when we broke the law, our breaking of the law, our coming up short of the glory of God continually in everything we did and all the righteous services we tried to do, we came up short before the glory of God. So Christ took care of all those transgressions that we committed against our God. And it says, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And so we see that our Savior, he paid it all. The debt's been paid. And we that were naked and unfit for the battle and had no protection and no provision for the battle, Christ has obtained it all by his work, by his hand, and he freely gives it to his people to fit them for that battle, to fit them to stand against the fiery accusations and all the trouble that comes upon us. We stand complete in Christ our Savior. So stand there in the truth of the gospel. And again, we see other pictures there, right? If you think of that ability where they took that garment and they tucked it in for movement, for swiftness of movement, so the Lord makes his people ready, able, and willing in him to be ready to go where he sends us and to open our mouths when it's time to open our mouth and declare the truth of the gospel. And so wherever the Spirit leads his people, his Spirit will go. You know, I think of Paul, who, when he was writing to the Romans, in Romans 12, verse 1, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, you and I, we know that we have no authority and no power of ourselves to be able to serve God or to determine where we're going to go and when we're going to go. We don't have that authority or power of ourselves, but we present ourselves to the Lord and wait upon the Lord and what he will do. So we just simply present our bodies before the Lord. And the picture there is what you see in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, verse 8, when the Lord said, whom shall we send? And Isaiah said, here, my Lord, send me. And all Isaiah was doing was presenting his body a living sacrifice, which had been made whole when the angel took that live coal off the altar and touched it to his lips, thus sanctifying him and removing the corruption, making him a vessel to be used by the Lord as the Lord saw fit to use him. And so that's what the picture is there. And so the hope of Christ, which is the truth of the gospel, it manifests. It's manifested in the child of God by the work of God. He reveals faith in us. He reveals hope in us. He reveals a willingness in us to know the Lord, to be used of the Lord, to hear the voice of the Lord, to be taught by the Lord, and to know him. And it's all done, worked in us by the Spirit. And he makes us ready to follow our Lord wherever he'll lead us. And so Christ is made to the believer the whole of the believer's life. He's made everything to us. When Peter was speaking of these things in a similar manner, in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you by at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's showing us that we're pilgrims, and we're strangers in this life, in this world. We're pilgrims and strangers, and we see this imagery of the warfare and the battle of what our Savior has given to us, and how we are led by the Spirit of the Lord in a moment's notice. And the picture there, the understanding that we have is the Lord saying to us, don't be tied to this world. Don't set your affections and your love on this world and the things of this world, because they're passing. And we can't keep them or retain them. And they can be easily taken from us. And that one whose heart is set on Christ and is made willing to endure the hardness that we face as believers in Jesus Christ, as a good soldier in Jesus Christ, when those things are removed or taken away suddenly and disappointments come, you that have your heart set on Christ are able to reconcile that. That's reconciled rather quickly in us, because we see, Lord, this is exactly what you said, and this is exactly what you did. And those people who love not their lives unto death, it's because they weren't attached to the world. They weren't attached to the things of this world, and their hearts were set on Christ. And that's why when the hour came to lay down their lives, it was easy. It was easy. They were made willing to do it by his grace. And so the truth of this girdle, what we're learning in the preaching of the gospel and in the declaration of the gospel, that our Lord is teaching us, is that Christ is all. He's all. Right? He surpasses anything that we gather ourselves in this flesh. He surpasses all our riches. He surpasses all our defense. He surpasses all our sustenance. He surpasses all our provisions that we make for ourselves. Right? We do things in the flesh, and we try to account for things and take care of ourselves to some degree, but it's nothing. Don't hang on to those things. Those things pass quickly. But we have everything that have the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And that's what our Lord's doing. He's showing us the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the enemy, he's going to attack the truth. And he's going to try to turn your eyes from Christ and set your focus on earthly things and provoke you and worry you and trouble you with earthly things. But you stand in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that truth being that he's our righteousness, that he's our inheritance, so that when all this is washed away and it passes away, they haven't touched our inheritance. They haven't touched Christ. He's not been moved from us, and we've not been moved from him. We have the Lord. We have everything. And that makes it agreeable with the new man who's in the flesh lost everything, but has everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a comfort to know you're in the will and the mind of the Lord, doing that which he's called us to do, just presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, thank you. It makes it all easy when everything else is taken away. So the next thing then Paul says, he says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, some might think this refers to the wearer's righteousness, what we do or what we don't do, and how good we've been, how consistent we've been the last week and what we wanted to do. Right, either in the law or in religious practices and service and our piety. Right? And there's nothing wrong with living according to the word of the Lord, right? We're not looking to offend or to do things that we know the Lord says don't do. That's not what I mean, but that's not our focus, that's not our hope, that's not where we draw strength from. Our comfort and strength is in Christ himself. If you were trusting in a breastplate of righteousness of your own making, how easy would that be for the enemy to come right in and find the weakness and thrust you through? He'd disarm you, he'd snip that armor right off and thrust you through, because it's not, that has no ability. It'd be like wearing aluminum foil against the thrusting of a sword, right? It won't stop it. It'll be pierced right through. And so we're not talking about man's righteousness. We're looking away from self. And we're looking to Christ, who is everything to his people. And so our hope and our joy and rejoicing is that the Lord Jesus Christ, according to his word, according to the gospel, is that we are righteous in him. We are received and accepted of the Lord in Jesus Christ. And that truth is the breastplate of our righteousness. It's secured in that truth. It remains firmly in place. It's Christ's righteousness, and it isn't coming off. It's kept firmly in the truth of the revelation of our God's word, which isn't the words or the doctrines. It's Christ himself. It's Christ himself. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." And so, again, we are seeing, we're turned over and over in the scriptures to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not turned to self, we're turned to him. Again, in Romans 3, verse 20 through 22, he says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Right? That's why the law was given, to reveal to us how sinful we are and how far short we fall. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, by his faithfulness, by his trust and confidence in the Lord." That's why he was obedient. He trusted his Father. He trusted his Father to fulfill the will and purpose of God in him laying down his life, bearing the sins of his people to put them away, to make us righteous and accepted with God. He trusted the Father. "Of Jesus, the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe." Right? And then Romans 5:21, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." And so the truth is, brethren, we've been justified by Christ. We're not still trying to figure out if we're justified and work righteousness to justify ourselves. And the truth is, we've been sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who separated us unto himself, gives us his Spirit, bears his fruits of righteousness in us by his works and by his power. That's where we stand, in the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him, trusting him, resting in him. And right there, that's how you stand against the wiles of the devil, against his trickery, his chicanery, all his tricks and attempts to try and shame you and make you, overcome you with guilt and worry and fears. You stand in Christ. You are righteous in Christ. You that believe him, you're righteous. Don't be afraid. You trust the Lord. You trust him. You stand right there on the promises that your God has declared to you in his gospel. You are forgiven. You are clean. You are washed, made whole. He's washed your feet. He's washed you in every way necessary. You're clean. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to close with Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 33 and 34. Paul says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth." He's justified you by the blood of Christ. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." So that's the armor, brethren. That's the armor. You're standing in his righteousness. Trust him and believe him. I pray the Lord bless you with those words, and next time we're back in the passage, we'll look at the other pieces of armor. But as you can see, they all speak of what Christ has obtained for us. It's all glorying in our Savior, our champion, our God, our husband, our Savior, our Lord. So rejoice in him, brethren.